One of the most popular backyard crops is strawberries. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
What a day.
And today on GLT's Grow, Murph has advice for us on getting a garden load of strawberries. They're wonderful to have fresh. They're wonderful to, you know, to make into preserves. Strawberries are fabulous.
They are fabulous. And in your opener, you mentioned that they're popular. They actually are the number one small fruit in America.
Wow.
Small fruits include things like the blueberry and the raspberry and blackberry, of course. And strawberries, in addition to being the most popular, they have three different ways that you can approach growing them. And it really kind of depends on what your goal is. So you have a June-bearing strawberries that produce a crop in a 2 to 3 week period in the spring. So that's a one-time shot, okay? And then you have your ever-bearing strawberries that they produce three whole sets of flowers and fruit throughout a spring, summer, and fall growing season. That's really the best one, okay? And then day neutral is one that produces continually through the growing season. So that's a one or two here or there. So if you compare all three, you know, you get a whole bunch of berries early. And if you have a berry problem, that's a good one to consider. You know, berries now. And then ever-bearing, you get three batches, you know. So with all the other stuff you're handling in your garden, it's probably good to have three batches so you can freeze or can. And then day neutral, you get this sprinkling all season long. So I think if you're a salad or a gourmand type person, that might be the one for you.
Okay.
So you can see, you can figure
can
that out.
Can you grow all of them?
You could, but you'd be wasting a lot of space in your garden.
Oh. So,
and here's how I know that.
Okay.
So there are three ways to grow the three types of strawberries also. And I didn't plan that, but it just worked out that way. The matted row is where we have our plants 18 to 30 inches apart, so a foot and a half to 2.5 feet apart, with the rows being 3 to 4 feet apart. And the little daughter plants that come off the mother plants, you would not worry about those. You would just let those grow down to the edge of your row. And then the spaced row, the daughter plants, you would want to kind of cut those back from the mother, no more than 4 inches away from the mother plant. And then there's a hill system, and this works for all types, but the rows have 2 to 4 plants with a 2-foot walking aisle in between. And spaced hill and the hill, spaced row and hill system both require you to go down and kind of pinch away the runners to a certain distance. So one, the spaced row, the little strawberries kind of cluster and mat together.
Right.
And in a smaller space. And the hill is actually a hill, also similar to a potato.
Can I grow strawberries in a pot?
That would be difficult to do.
Okay.
You could do it, but there would be, the damping off is a condition that you have trouble with strawberries. Tomatoes are similar. They have that condition. So it's getting them started. Once you get some started, you might be able to get away with doing it in a large pot. The pot would have to be one that's not, that doesn't narrow to the bottom so that it drains really well.
Oh, good point.
So a lot of pots have that. All strawberries, regardless of the style, they like a 5.5 to 6.5 range on the pH scale.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week it's strawberries 101, and they have a particular pH that they're looking for to be happy.
They like that, and there's a for every 1,000 square feet of strawberries, you're going to need a 10-20-20 type of fertilizer. You don't want to over-fertilize strawberries because then they become very vegetative and they don't have as many flowers, which turn into strawberries.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want
right?
the flowers.
So you want the flowers and the strawberries. You don't want stems and leaves. So a good way to avoid doing that is you compost the area that you're going to grow your strawberries in the year before.
Okay.
So you could back dig. We've talked about back digging that. Grow Corporate loves back digging, and so do I. And it's a great way to add that compost in without having to rent a rototiller.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to do. And Weeding is really important. Regardless of the type of strawberry or the approach, the first 2 to 3 weeks, I would say the first month, it's really important that you keep those rows and those spaces between your plants scraped clean with the hoe. Don't turn the soil over all the time in between. Scrape it with the hoe or plunge it with some kind of dandelion lance or something. If you're constantly turning the soil in between the strawberry plants, you're going to interfere with the runners and the root growth.
Gotcha.
And you're going to motivate weed seeds that have been lazily laying around.
We don't want to be motivating weeds.
Waiting for a chance to come to life. And that's sometimes all that's needed. So if you can keep the strawberries real clean for as little as 2 weeks, as much as a month, you're kind of letting them take over their own little domain, and there's not much that can break that once they've established. So that's very important.
You know, my mother used to grow strawberries, but half of the berries ended up in the bellies of the birds.
Oh, the birds
love the strawberries. I mean, is throwing netting over our strawberry plants, is that at all helpful?
I think it's helpful, but in the way you described it, kind of highlights the attention to detail and what's important there.
Okay.
Throwing the net over the strawberries, think of yourself as a bird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Creature with no arms. He just lands on the net, reaches his little face through one of the holes, and has a strawberry. Versus you could put a couple stakes out, maybe with a bucket or a water jug on top of them, and throw the net over that.
Okay.
So, well, then they can't land on it.
So it's more tented.
It's just up off of there. And another thing is the net won't stop the rabbits, because the rabbits and the ground varmints, they like the strawberries too. But if you make the little net there so that they can't just easily go right through the tiny holes that make up the net. The holes vary in the nets, I understand.
I'd be like buying one that's mesh, you know, to keep everybody out.
And I've seen it done where people just kind of, they had a raised bed, so they put like a post in each corner, and then they stretch the net tight over the top of it. And if a bird did land on there, it was this little mattress trampoline type effect, and the bird would just fly away.
Oh, how interesting.
And there was no opportunity for the bird to reach down through the holes because of the space between the net. But, you know, what works just as well are the moving scarecrows are great. But yeah, with the small fruits, the birds are a big deal, and a big way to kind of fight that is when you're out checking those weeds the first 2 to 4 weeks, you're coming out to the garden, the animals will figure that out, they'll figure out when to visit
that
the garden.
That you're
going to
be
there.
Somebody hanging around, and that maybe...
So you got to do something, if you live in a spot where you're feeding the critters like we do at our house, you know, hey, you can have this, but you can't have that.
Yeah, right, I mean, could you distract them from that with some bird seed or
something? That's something we need to have a whole other show about,
well,
really.
Let's do that.
You know, we got your Irish Spring soap technique, you got the scarecrows, you got explosives.
Ooh.
That's for really hostile birds. Just kidding.
We don't use explosives on grow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and your favorite variety, real quick, Murph, strawberry?
I think that the everbearing is the best way to grow, the best way to go, and you get them kind of predictable in little groups. And they're attractive. They look nice. They kind of grow like a ground cover with flowers on them.
Okay, sounds beautiful. Thank you so much, Murph. Next week on GLT's Grow, club root and how to deal with it. We're looking for gardening questions or problems. Murph would love to take those on. Just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. It's possible that Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. And here it is, springtime. There's a lot of gardening issues out there. We'd love to hear from you. So you just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.